Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and grace towards us, Lord. Father, for the people you brought this morning, Lord, and how you continue to be faithful to your word, Lord. Father, just be with us as we fellowship with you, with each other, as we just walk through Ezekiel. Give us a good understanding of this man's life and the ministry and your ways that in which you deal with your people, Lord. Father, we might just be in awe of you, Lord. We love you. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you turn around and greet somebody? All right, you have a Bible. Why don't you turn to Ezekiel chapter 6, please? Ezekiel chapter 6, Lord willing, to chapter 8 tonight. We'll see. Ezekiel has acted out several sermons from outside his house and from within his house to assure the captives of the final and ultimate destruction of Jerusalem in chapter 4 and 5. He laid a siege before the city on a clay plate where he draws out the city. He sets battering rams and all. He declares God is going to devastate it. He has shaven his head and his beard and divided the hair up into three groups. That which would be consumed by the fire within the city. That which would be struck by the sword vanished to the wind. And then the other third in captivity, but he would take a few remnant and he would put it in his belt. He hasn't spoken that we know of in those sermons that are acted out. There could have been, God would open his mouth at certain points, but basically that's what he did. Now he turns to the mountains of Israel as well as the land of Israel. And we have two messages in chapter 6 is the first, and chapter 7 is the second. The interesting correlation is that when we get to chapter 36, you have then Ezekiel prophesying to the mountains of Israel for restoration, for blessing, for blossoming. In chapter 37, you have the valley of dry bones, as God would bring back the nation in the last days. So there's an interesting parallel between these two chapters in 36 and 37. So keep that in mind as we go through them. As we move through Ezekiel, we'll pick those up. So let's begin here with chapter 6, verse 1 through 14. The entire chapter gives the judgment, as I said, of the mountains of Israel against them. This is this first message. Verse 1 through 7, you have the judgment that would be divinely executed. This is no coincidence. This is not just some hungry empire trying to get more territory. This is a direct hand of God that would fall upon the mountains first and then the land. Always correlate. When you look at Israel, you always correlate the land and the people. The land and the people go together. That's the covenant. Without no people, there is no land. Without no land, there is no people. Both of them go together. That's God's promise. And so, he turns to the mountains here in verse 1. He says, "Now, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man," there's that repeated phrase, "set your face towards the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. And say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I, even I, will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places." Notice he goes out of his way to be very specific. It is to the mountains, but he doesn't miss anything. He sets his face facing them. He prophesies against them. He includes this as the authority of the Word of God in verse 3 there. He includes the mountains overall, the hills, the ravines, the valleys. He misses nothing. And then he says, I, even I. Three pronouns, personal pronouns. It is God who does it. I bring the sword against you. I will destroy your high places. Some people have a difficult time with God's judgment. And when they study the Old Testament, they look and say, well, thank God we're not in the Old Testament. Well, it's the same God. And they somehow explain away God's judgment. Now, God dealt in law, but He's still the same God. He's as holy now as He was back then. He hates as much sin in the New Testament as He did in the Old Testament. And He warns in the New Testament as much as He did in the Old Testament. It's the same God. And so some people have shaped their God after their own imagination. Their God is a very loving God. And so all they do is they talk about God's love and God's grace. And that's good. I'm all for it. But you got to flip the coin. A double-headed coin is a false coin. It has heads and tails. The one side is God's love. But on the other side is God's wrath. Listen very carefully. The holiness of God demands